This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
He brings the passion.
For what? I want to know now. I'm mentally invested. Don't tell me to pray and you don't say what for.
He brings the perspective.
Yeah, I think they both have a great point.
Get off me, text line.
He's truly one of a kind.
That is whack.
Oh, my God.
Oh. And he's doing a great job.
Okay. I need you to man up and say what you really want to say.
Simon, you're doing a great job.
And together, they are Stymie and Guru.
Yeah.
On 95.7 The Game.
All righty. Good morning, everybody. Matt Steinmetz and... Don't say a word.
Don't
say
a word. I don't want to hear a single syllable about Daryl the Guru Johnson today.
No goo today.
I'm out.
He's got some issues that we're wishing him well on.
Yeah.
For sure. So
keep them in your thoughts.
You know Evan Giddings well, and he will be in for the next 4 hours. So welcome to everybody.
I'm looking forward to having some fun today, Steinie.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have fun. There's no doubt about it, but... You brought something to my attention that's kind of starting to hit home. And I want you to tell people who you talked to yesterday about Christian McCaffrey, if you don't mind. Because I think we all maybe sense this, but it's kind of, I don't want to say official, but go ahead.
Well, I just think there's reason to believe that Christian McCaffrey's not going to be with the 49ers for probably the first half, if not longer, of this season. And like, I had a chance to speak yesterday with Dr. David Chow, and you guys actually met him in Las Vegas. He came over during Radio Row. So you guys have met him as well. And of course, he's, you know, been a team doctor in the NFL for nearly two decades. He knows his stuff, and just reached out to him, had a conversation, and he basically was like, you know, I think there's been a lot of, I don't know, questions around what exactly McCaffrey is doing in Germany. Everyone knows he's in Munich. Everyone assumes that he's going to get some sort of procedure done. So I just straight up asked him, I was like, what does this mean? You know, I think there's the Kobe comparison,
sure,
but that was for a knee. The only two countries I believe you're allowed to engage in this, it's like a platelet-rich enriching procedure. You spin blood, and then you reinsert it back into the... you know, the injury area. I don't want to get too specific, but it means that you're going to be out for 4 to 6 weeks once you get that procedure done.
Right.
So if Christian McCaffrey gets this procedure done today,
right,
he will be out through the end of October. That means, in my mind, optimistically, the first time we'll see Christian McCaffrey is after the bye week in week 10. And so, while that might not come across as great news or even breaking news, to me, it just begs the question, can the 49ers survive until that point? Like, can they survive the first 9 weeks of this regular season and put themselves in a position to have McCaffrey, if and when he's back, to hit the ground running and help this football team?
And that was a big reason why a lot of fans thought it would really behoove the 49ers to get off to a good start. And if McCaffrey's, and they have 8 games, and then week 9 is the bye, and then they have a game on November 10th, which, if you're right, and I believe you are, that would probably be the earliest we would see McCaffrey, November 10th, which would be the 49ers' 9th game of the season.
And that also doesn't ensure that he will be at 100% once he returns.
Right.
Because he's going to need to ramp up, and they're going to have to be careful, because he's got Achilles tendonitis, and you don't want to make it worse. So Christian McCaffrey is probably, like, I think best case scenario is he finds a way to be 100% towards the end of the season come postseason time. But with the way things are looking, like, you got to get there first.
Yeah.
And I was listening to Willard and Dibs yesterday, and I do agree with Dibs. 10 wins for this team right now at this point is a victory. Like, a 10 and 7 season as it currently stands for the 49ers, I think that's where you want to be. Like, aiming at 11 or 12 to me is out of the cards right now.
Yeah, I think maybe you don't think about the record at all at this point, and I'm probably sure they don't, but it's about hanging. I think it might just be about hanging in there right now. They don't have McCaffrey this weekend. They don't have Deebo Samuel this weekend. Obviously, Javon Hargrave is hurt. But, you know, the one thing I'm thinking is, if you want to look at the optimistic side, maybe we're looking at a scenario in which week 10 or week 11, the Niners are 6-4, and now here comes McCaffrey, and here comes Dre Greenlaw. And maybe that starts to change things. I will say this. This team right now looks like it's going to be in survival mode for the next 5-6 weeks. By the same token, they could get this right if their defense comes up with a couple big games in the process. And I think that's right now the biggest concern of this team. What's going on defensively, and why have they not been able to get the opposing team off the field on third down? And if they get that rectified, or if they make an improvement there, you know, I think things will look a lot better, obviously.
Well, but that's one of the issues with the defense right now, is it looks like it's eroding. You know, Javon Hargrave is out for the season, and I realize that a lot of people have not been happy with the kind of money that he makes and the production that he's given, but you're now thinner on your defensive line. You're thinner in the middle. And this is a defense signing that has given up 6.1 yards per play. That's abhorrent. That's objectively bad. Like, that is the 28th ranked yard per play defense in the NFL right now. And not a lot of it has been because they're just continually getting gashed, but they're giving up chunk plays. They're giving up explosive plays. And this is a defense that, at least I feel like, is talented enough on the back end to not get burnt as much as they've been burnt the first 3 weeks, particularly the last 2 weeks of this season.
Yeah, if you were to ask me, like, what's been the most disappointing part of the 49ers start, it's just they don't look cohesive. And I'm not – Kyle Shanahan's a great coach. All right, he's an excellent coach. Let's not use the word great, but he's a very good coach. He's great. He's excellent. He's very good. By the end of my sentence, he'll be average. But no. But they don't look like a well-coached team right now. They look like every other team in the NFL during a year where the Niners seem to excel. I just, when I watch the Niners in the Kyle Shanahan era, I just always feel like they have some kind of advantage, and they make the big plays when they need to and all that stuff. It just feels like more and more these 50-50 plays where they need to make a play, they just haven't been able to make it. And I wonder if it's a sign that there's a lot going on with this defense, or it's just a matter of a couple more big plays and you're back on track. So that's what we're getting into today on 95.7 The Game. We're also going to get into some other sports today. There's some other news, obviously, with baseball. The San Francisco Giants, they won their fifth in a row last night, right? Longest winning streak of the season.
Huh, was she?
Yeah. We got action over
it. I'm glad they decided to turn it on right when it mattered.
Well, you know, better late than ever. And we'll get into the A's. Last game tomorrow at the Coliseum. I got to tell you something about this. I'll do it on the other side, but it's actually starting to hit me about the Oakland A's, and I don't like it. I don't like it at all. We'll also be talking about the Warriors. There's some Warrior nuggets out there that we're going to get into, but it's the 49ers on the other side. We're going to get into some of their issues defensively and what is going on with them right now and whether they can get this thing back on track. What's coming up on The Game is presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. That segment brought to you by Lucky California.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, It can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Three, two. Yo, this is John Spider Sally, four-time NBA champion, and you are listening to Spiny and the Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Evan Giddings in for Darryl the Guru Johnson. Goo's got some stuff going on. We wish him the best, as always. Hey, you know what? I didn't tell you I was going to ask you this, but I'm gonna ask you this.
Hit me, Steiny.
How, the fake punt, were you surprised watching the game when they pulled off the fake punt, the Rams?
Yes.
I really was. I was surprised. And the more I thought, and forget Kyle Shanahan saying they knew it, but they didn't stop it. It was more that, you know, I'm thinking about that play. And if you're, you can only do that if you're kind of a certain kind of coach. Like, that's the kind of play where if you don't pull it off, I don't want to say that gets you fired, but if you're a young coach, and I know he's young, but if you don't have a lot of experience and you're doing stuff like that, I don't know that you're going to – I think a younger coach without the pedigree might look at that game and say, okay, we're down 14-0. We're a long shot to win this game anyway. Let's just punt this away so things don't get out of hand in a hurry. And I just thought it was a great time for it because I wasn't thinking it. I don't know what 49er fans were thinking. Maybe there were some fans thinking before the play, they're going to fake. But I did not see it coming, and obviously that's the best time to do it.
Well, yeah, like you're obviously not expecting a fake punt. But I will say this, and for a lot of people out there that did feel like it could be coming, the situation was probably, like, the probability of a fake punt was higher than most because the position they were at were on the field is, like, you're not going to fake a punt inside your own 30-yard line. They were somewhere between the 30 and midfield.
True.
It was also at a point in the game where you kind of have nothing to lose. You're down 14-0. If you give them the ball back, the game might be over if they go down and score because you're getting rolled. So it is a backup against the wall type of situation. And from that perspective, I can see why Shanahan said we expected it. The one thing I don't think he expected, usually a fake punt's a pass. They ran.
Yeah.
And so there was great execution on that side by the Rams. I think they also saw that there was only a few players on that side of the field for the Niners, and one of them that was supposed to seal the edge was Chris Conley, who's a wide receiver. So maybe there was something from the special teams coordinator that he saw that, you know, they audibled into it. But as far as, you know, timing, position on field, and situation, I can hear Shanahan saying, yeah, we saw that coming.
Yeah, 650 is kind of disagreeing a little bit. No, we all screamed it at the watch party. The guy on the Niners didn't contain on that side. That should never happen. Yeah, I didn't see it coming. And here's what I mean by maybe a younger coach as opposed to a guy who's already won a Super Bowl. But if you don't make that, the game's over. The game's essentially over. I'm being a little overly dramatic, but you're giving the ball back. So if that doesn't work, like, that's a big risk. It doesn't work, and you get down 21-0. Well, now it's a fait accompli. And I think it was one of those things where after the fake punt, then I looked at all of it and said, oh, man, what a perfect time for it. Once I, you know, assessed where they were, their injury situation, trying to get a spark from somewhere. But I wasn't thinking all those things before the play. I was thinking, they're just going to kick it down there. But then that's the other thing. I feel like McVay was thinking, if we kick it down there to the 10, They're just going to maybe not drive the field for a touchdown, but they're going to have the ball. And that fake punt accomplished so much because it effectively kept the 49ers from getting the ball the rest of the half, except for that last minute. And it just was a game changer. It was a gutsy call. It worked. And I'm not sure every coach tries to pull that out at that point.
Well, that along with some of the other gaffes, I think, highlight just how important special teams are.
Yeah.
It's one of those facets of the game where you don't notice it until there's a major, like just a cataclysmic F-up. Okay, so there was the fake punt that they got. If you want to throw in Jake Moody's 55-yard missed field goal to seal the game, that's technically a part of special teams. The week before, they had a blocked punt against Minnesota. You know, they've had three or four, of course, the final drive for the Rams, you know, a missed tackle on a punt, ends up getting to the 50-yard line. They go down and win the game. Like, those are plays that stand out that cost you that football game, and if they correct any single one of them, I think they have a very good chance at winning. So, I mean, to me, it just highlights the fact that this team isn't buttoned up.
Right.
Like, they're not a detail-oriented team, and I don't know if they've ever necessarily been on special teams, because you can go back through the Shanahan era and pick out a couple of special teams, you know, mishaps or whatever. But they clearly don't care about that facet of the game enough or that phase, and it came back to bite them in the ass against the Rams.
Yeah, and my question is, and let's talk about the defense for a sec. So they're not playing well after three games. I guess my question to 49er fans would be, I mean, Do you expect the defense to be an issue this season? Is that going to be the issue of this team? Or do you think it's something that will get straightened out? And I guess my question would be, well, how does it get straightened out? Is it simply that the guys who are really good players are going to start playing really well again? Is it going to be a case where they're going to struggle and hopefully they get Greenlaw back week 9 or 10 and then things start clicking? How much confidence do 49er fans have that this defense will eventually show itself? Because that's the part I can't figure out. I was reading Matt Barrow's story in The Athletic today, and it was in The Athletic, and it was Diana Russini. And she had this little nugget that said she talked to an L.A. Rams coach after the game, and he said something to the effect of, this has nothing to do with Brock Purdy. The 49ers defense, it's just not the same. And I wonder if that's something that's going to hold true for most of the season, or if it's something that is correctable. I'll throw that one out there at 888-957-9570. Where do you come down on that? And Nick Sorensen and Kenny do stuff to impact the game a little bit more?
Well, I think his job just got a lot more difficult with Hargrave being out.
Yeah, you know what? Can I address that?
Sure.
I may have understated just a little bit, but
well, it's okay. You haven't noticed him much, and
I haven't.
Haven't been. You know, it can't grind on the all 22 all the time.
No.
You know, you were focused on Bosa, focused on Floyd, who, by the way, has been underwhelming.
Yeah.
You know, really since just a couple moments in week one, Floyd has not really done much. You know, and that's, I guess that's my reason for concern about the defense. And I'm not sure. I'm sure Sorensen's trying, but I'm not really sure what he's going to be able to do long term, because there are more weaknesses on this defense than we thought there was going to be. So on the defensive line, now you have a hole with Hargrave out. Leonard Floyd doesn't look like the second edge rusher that he was supposed to be. Devondre Campbell is, the entire limelight is on him anytime he's on the field. He hasn't been as great against the run as people assumed, and he sure as hell can't guard anybody. On the back end, Isaac Yiadom, I think they went 5-of-5 against him, the Rams did, when he was outside.
Right.
So, like, they have holes, and they have holes that good play callers like Sean McVay and Kevin O'Connell for the Minnesota Rams will exploit. And that's, I think, their biggest issue right now, is how do they cover up those weaknesses? And at least through 3 weeks, you know, I mean, the Jets are kind of a different situation, but the last 2 weeks, they haven't been able to do it. So.
Yeah. And I'm looking at this is an interesting thing, because one of the things about football that I always, that seems to always happen, is you have an impression of a player, and then the stats don't back up your impression. And so I'm reading Matt Barrow's mailbag. He did a mailbag, Evan.
He's better than that.
And it says, here's the question. Watching Nick Bosa, he's been very pedestrian compared to the players of his ilk, like TJ Watt and Max Crosby. What gives? He's constantly doing the same, blah, 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 blah. Okay. Listen to this. Sacks, quarterback hits, quarterback pressures. Three numbers.
Mm-hmm.
JJ Watt, three sacks, five hits.
TJ.
I'm sorry. What'd I say?
JJ.
TJ Watt.
He's on the screen right now.
Yes. Yes, he is. Okay. Watt, three sacks, five quarterback hits, eight pressures. Max Crosby, three quarterback sacks, two quarterback hits, 11 total pressures. Nick Bosa, two sacks, three hits, 12 quarterback pressures. And what's written here is Bosa off to a burning hot start? No, but he's not lagging either. So that, I don't know if that's cause for concern, but it sure feels like I haven't noticed him like I have in past years. He does seem just a little less dominant.
Well, and I don't think you've noticed him in the moments where you expect to notice him.
I guess that's probably the way to put it.
I mean, T.J. Watt, I don't know about all three of his sacks, but I know that one of them was on a third down in the Chargers game. Like, that's a moment where you want your edge rusher to get to the quarterback and get that team off the field. He was able to do that. Max Crosby in the Baltimore game had a couple of big plays to help the Raiders win that football game. I'm not saying that Nick Bosa's two sacks don't count, but they came in a game in which they got pretty much dominated by the Minnesota Vikings. You know, he didn't make a big play in the Rams game. The one thing I will give him credit for, because Bosa doesn't do this often and he's going to have to continue to do it, he played 100% of the snaps on Sunday at the Rams. Now, does that mean he might be a little more gassed and isn't necessarily going to be as effective because the Niners generally like to rotate their linemen in? Perhaps. But that's something that he has not done very often. And so I do think he gets credit for being on the field and available for, what was it, like 60 snaps on defense.
Right.
So, okay, if he's going to play 100% of the snaps, which, by the way, Max Crosby also does, TJ Watt does not, but then you're going to have to keep that level because he's now more important than ever to this defensive line. And really, that's one thing that's been glaring, is that I don't think they've gotten enough pressure when they've needed to. The Vikings were incredible on third down. The Rams weren't better than the Niners on third down on Sunday, but they were better on third down when they needed to be down the stretch of that football game. And that's where you need those kind of star players, the players that make an ungodly sum of money to help you out. And neither Nick Bosa nor Brandon Ayuk were able to do that.
Yeah. 888-957-9570 is the number. Is this Niners defense going to get better? And if so, how much better are they going to get over the course of the season? Or do you guys think that this may be something that we're going to have to be worried about for much of this season? 888-957-9570. Let's go out to Frankie Eyelashes. Frankie Eyelashes.
Oh, my God.
What's up, Frankie?
What's up, kid? I haven't talked to you in a while, but you know what? I'm a big Raiders fan. I told you I gamble, I bet futures.
Sure.
And the 49ers didn't lose to a bad team. They lost to a Super Bowl contender, to a quarterback that throws bullets. Kyle Shanahan, and I've been saying it for years, it's his play calling in crucial games.
You know what, Frank? We got a bad connection.
Was he talking about the Vikings?
I think he was talking about the Rams.
Oh.
Frankie, you know, this has been a couple times. Frankie's phone stinks. His phone stinks.
Metro, I don't know.
I don't know either. We will go to the coach, though. The coach is in Vallejo. What's up, coach? How you doing, man?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Doing well.
And, you know, Steiny, great. You know, we don't always agree, but we do kind of think alike sometimes. And
okay.
I got to chuckle out when you said that, you talk about Shanahan, and you said, you know, by the end of the conversation, he'll be an average coach. You know, I got to chuckle out of that because That's exactly what Dak Prescott is. Throws for a million yards during the regular season. Fantasy football type of guy. You're going to get big points with Dak Prescott. But both Shanahan and Prescott come up short in the big games and in the playoffs. And I like to reserve greatness for someone winning championships.
Fair.
And Shanahan hasn't done, you know, and Shanahan hasn't done that. Now, you know, they show him on the sideline. He's sucking his lollipop. He got the baseball cap on, you know. But what has he actually done? Nothing in 8 years over here in San Francisco. He has done nothing. So Prescott and Shanahan, I kind of say they're kind of similar, you know.
All right.
What do you think?
Oh, wow.
Well, I don't think you can say Kyle Shanahan's done nothing.
I also don't think you can call him Dak Prescott. Yeah, and I think Goo would tell you the exact same thing.
Right. Well, the other thing, this is one of those things that is a topic for me forever. And it's always, just because a guy hasn't gotten it done, doesn't mean he'll never get it done. And I'm always fascinated why would people say Kyle Shanahan will never get it done. What happens if, you know, they find their way to another Super Bowl and they just blow the other team out? That could happen, and then Kyle Shanahan doesn't have to make any crucial decisions. And I'm not saying that would be the only way they want it, but how do people determine the people and the players and the coaches who'll never win it with the players and the coaches who just haven't won it yet?
Well, literally speaking, no Super Bowl coach that's lost twice has ever won. Like, you haven't, a coach that has gotten to a Super Bowl two times and lost their first two times has never won a Super Bowl. So there's that. But I don't think that's what they mean. To me, it's just, you've had, relatively speaking, he's had a lot of chances.
Yeah.
It's not just the head coach of the 49ers. I think people hold the 28-3 Patriots comeback against him as the play caller for the Falcons. He's been in a position in multiple locations to win a Super Bowl, and he hasn't done it. And a lot of people don't get two, or even if you want to throw three chances in there. A lot of people just get one.
Right.
And you got to cash in. And he hasn't been able to do that. And we're starting to find out this season just how rare it is to just all of a sudden run it back and get back to an NFC Championship game, or look like you have the ability to, because injuries can happen, or maybe players don't perform like they did the year before, or, I don't know, your coaching staff gets picked apart by other teams, and so they have to figure out stuff. Like, yeah, I don't think it's gotten to a 2020 point yet, Steiny, but we're another injury away from feeling like it is.
2020, you mean the year they, what were they, 6-10 or something like that?
Yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo tore his ACL. Nick Bosa got hurt. Everyone was done. The season felt over by week 4.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the one thing I will say is I think as long as they got, I can't believe I'm saying, as long as they got Purdy, they'll probably win enough games to, I think they're going to be able to, if McCaffrey comes back midseason and Greenlaw comes back, let's say week 10 or 11, I do think they're going to have enough wins to be in it at that point. I just can't see this team being 3-7 after 10 games. I still see this team as worst case scenario 5-5, let's say after 10 games, but I don't see this team, you know, I just don't see this team crashing. Well, in a big way.
Well, I certainly hope they don't, but I also think that we learned this weekend that a damn near perfect Purdy game was not good enough to help you win. This isn't an indictment of Brock, as Dino Rossini said. It wasn't his fault. I totally agree with that. But he played as close to a perfect football. That might have been his best individual performance in the regular season of his career, and they lost the game. And they didn't lose because of Brock. They lost because their defense didn't make plays. They lost because their special teams got taken advantage of. They lost because of coaching, because of scheming, because of production from players that are expected to be stars that weren't. They didn't lose because of Brock Purdy. But there might also be some games where Brock isn't as good where he was on Sunday. And he's going to need to be as good as he was against the Rams, I think, if they're going to survive the next, you know, 6 or 7 weeks.
It doesn't feel like, you know, I was talking to Shasky before the show, and I just said, yeah, it just feels like something's wrong. Like, and I'm not saying it's just one thing. It just doesn't feel like they're They're together right now. And if you feel that way, then you start to think, well, what could it be? And I don't know. Kyle Shanahan is in his eighth year. A coach's voice sometimes loses a little of its oomph over time. Is there any chance that, I don't want to say he's losing the locker room, but is he losing his voice a little among the players in the locker room? And then you can't help but think more about the Aiyuk situation and what is going on there. And the funny thing is it feels, I think everybody acknowledges something's going on, even if it's the very least of all the big worries, which would be, yay, still rusty. But it feels like it's more than that with Brandon Aiyuk. It kind of feels like it's more than that with all their issues. Christian McCaffrey, well, he could play if it's a regular season game. Well, now he's on the injured list. Now he's probably going to miss half the season. So it just feels like a lot of things right now are snowballing. And I don't know. Do you have confidence that it's going to stop? And I'm not just talking about the injuries. You can't do anything about the injuries. But, you know, what does this team have to do with the personnel it has right now to be a better football team?
What can it do?
Yeah.
Play better.
No doubt.
I mean, it's not like they don't have players. It's not like they don't have talent. I just don't think the last couple of weeks they've been disciplined and buttoned up. And I think they've also, they probably took their opponent for granted last week. I don't know about the Vikings. The Vikings look like a good group, but that Rams team, it looked like to me watching that game, especially after the first two drives where they just marched right down the field and went up 14-0, that they thought because of the names on their back that the Rams were just going to roll over. That they just expected because they're in front of a 75% 49ers crowd on the road. They're up 14 points. That's the game the Niners last year run away with by 30 points. Like that's the game last year that they take every single knockout punch and just deliver it blow after blow after blow. And that's what I took away from that game on Sunday, and Brock Purdy said it. This team's different than last year.
Yeah.
They might have some of the same parts, but this is a very different football team.
And it's a different year. And last year's success doesn't guarantee anything this year. 888-957-9570 is the number. I also want to get into this. They're a veteran team. And in football, when is veteran code for old? Is this becoming an older team right before our eyes? We can talk about that on the other side at 888-957-9570. All right, at 7 p.m. right here on 95.7 The Game, we will be airing a two-hour special on mental health featuring some of the biggest names in music, news, and sports, and some of the most respected mental health professionals. I'm Listening is our two-hour special spreading awareness about mental health and the message that talk saves lives. The show will be hosted by Carson Daly, and it's available on the Odyssey app. For more info, visit imlistening.org.
I don't think you're soft, man, okay. But I do think you miss Goo.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson. We're talking 49er football. They play the Patriots, 105 at Levi's Stadium. We're still looking back a little at that Rams loss, 27-24, before we turn the page. And here's another thing I was thinking about, and it's this. Is there a difference between a bad football team and a team that early in the season just hasn't made enough plays? So I'm looking at my Philadelphia Eagles right now. They're 2-1.
Wait. Your?
No, I'm just doing that for effect.
Okay.
So they're 2-1. I mean, they're three plays away from being either 3-0 or 0-3. It's just unbelievable. The Packers in week one had a chance to win that game late. They didn't. Then the following week, the Eagles look like they got a win in hand, and Barkley drops the ball on a questionable play call. They lose. Then against the Saints, they're fortunate to get a win there. Their coach didn't make a lot of good decisions, And yet they still come out of there with a win. And the difference between 2-1 and 1-2 obviously is incredible. But I'm willing to give the 49ers the benefit of the doubt because of their history and not think this isn't a very good football team and instead think, you know what? They should be 2-1. They didn't make two plays late in a game that you normally make, and so let's not make a mountain out of a molehill. I guess that would be my question to 49er fans. Are we making a mountain out of a molehill right now, just three games into the season, when we know this team hasn't had the best training camp, and when we know they're a little banged up right now, obviously on the offense?
Yeah, but you could also look at those as excuses.
Yep.
You know, and so the Niners are 1-2. The team that they lost to in the Super Bowl last year, the Chiefs, they have a scoring differential of 13. They've won games by 7 points, by 5 points, and by 1 point.
Right, exactly.
They're 3-0. And they have not played very good football by their standards.
Yep.
Their running back is out for 6 to 8 weeks in Isaiah Pacheco. I don't see any excuses being made for the defending champs.
Well, but that's kind of what I'm saying is, to me, are the Chiefs just, the Chiefs got a big, big call in that game against Atlanta. A huge pass interference that wasn't called.
Yeah, they're also a shoe size away from potentially losing the Ravens game.
Exactly. And so that's what I always battle with that, especially in football, when a few plays make such a dramatic difference. Like, if the Chiefs were sitting at 1-2 but played the exact same football, we would be saying, boy, they're in trouble. Well, they're the same team that played 98% of the plays the same way. You know, the 2% didn't go their way, and they got beat. I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out whether we are overreacting with the San Francisco 49ers. How do you tell when a team three games into a year's got some issues that may linger, as opposed to, you know what, we're 1-2. We made a couple costly mistakes to blow that Rams game. But that's a one-game thing. It's not a season-long thing. I'm asking 49er fans, how do you tell the difference right now at 888-957-9570, Evan, or there's no way to tell it. You just have to wait till you stack up more games.
I mean, whenever a team loses or their season comes to a close, it's very apparent why. I mean, when a team loses a football game, you can see why.
Yeah.
You know, did I expect the Niners to lose to the Vikings? No, but as the game unfolded, it was very clear as to why they were going to lose that football game. But I'm not going to say that the Niners still can't be one of the best teams in the NFC. You know, it's week three. But their ability to storm back and win the division might be a little more impacted. You know, right now, I think their goal is to get healthy.
Yeah.
But as far as, I don't know, systemic issues that they have, I mean, special teams have been an issue across the entire Shanahan era. It's not as if this is all of a sudden something that has popped up in regards to either a muff punt or a missed tackle on special teams or a missed field goal in a big moment or a punt block. These aren't things that have not happened before. So is the defense correctable? Perhaps. I think that has to do with some personnel. The offense obviously needs to get healthy. But, you know, it's funny because, like you mentioned, all right, well, a couple plays here, a couple plays there. It also just could be the thing that concerns me about the 49ers is this is supposed to be a soft portion of their schedule. So, like, let's take the Seahawks, for example.
Okay.
Week one, they beat a Denver team that was starting its quarterback, first game ever in the NFL. The rookies generally don't win those games. Week two, they go to New England and barely scrape by the Patriots in overtime, but they win the game. And then last week, they play the Dolphins, who are supposed to be good, but they're missing the starting quarterback and played a guy who was literally the worst quarterback across week three in the NFL. Okay, so they're 3-0, but that 3-0 is a little, like, people are probably overreacting to that 3-0.
Yeah.
Just the way we might be overreacting to the Niners being 1-2. The thing that I struggle with the 49ers is, like, some of these things, I'm not sure they are correctable.
Yeah, my question is, and you brought this up earlier, I find it interesting. Right now, if you're a Niner fan, would you take 10-7 and a wild card? Believe it or not, if I were a Niner fan, I'm not ready to take that yet.
You still think you can get to 11 or 12?
Yeah, I think they could get to 11. I'm not super confident in that, but I'm not convinced that their problems are as big as maybe we're making them out to be at this point of the season. Now, talk to me in a couple weeks if they're 2-3 or 2-4. I just don't think they're capable of winning enough games the first 8 to 10 to keep them in it, and then to see where guys are injury-wise. I mean, if they don't get McCaffrey back at all, that hurts. You know, what's Dre Greenlaw going to be when he gets back? I mean, he's a killer when he's healthy. Is he going to be that same player?
Well, and it's not just him being back, but it's not having to play Devontae Campbell. Like, it's that he's the guy who's being replaced.
Right.
You know, I mean, I love George Odom, but, you know, he hasn't been good enough, and so someone like Mustafa's playing. And I don't know if you noticed, but I think it was on Kyron Williams' second rushing touchdown. Mustafa has a clear shot at the running back, completely whiffs. You know, that's a rookie. That's a mistake. And that's a missed tackle. But that missed tackle cost you a touchdown. And there are just a lot of those things right now that, I don't know. The 49ers can't, look, they have room to get better. But they need their stars to step up. And so far, they have not done that enough.
Yeah. This from the Xfinity Mobile text line from the 650. Of course I would take 10-7 at this point, considering all the injuries and defensive and special team woes. 10-7 would be a dream at this point. Here's why I wouldn't take it right now, is because even though it looks dire, there's still a path to McCaffrey playing this year. Deebo Samuel having a great year. Dre Greenlaw coming back. Nick Bosa reestablishing himself. I mean, the one thing that it feels like we can count on is they got a damn good quarterback. And I don't know if he can win him. He can't win him games by himself. I don't think any quarterback can. But I still wait on 10-7. Now, if they lose to the Patriots, yeah, then I'm going to change my prediction, my guess there. But I'm
assuming they're just that's a gimme game, like that is a get right game. You better win that game because Arizona's coming in next week.
Okay, but I hate that in the NFL.
What?
Like, there's just no sure things in the NFL. You know what I mean?
Like, I mean, someone could get hurt, but like
5 games a week, somebody. There's an upset, right? Or a team that's not favored wins.
I think all of the biggest upsets won last weekend. Like Denver against Tampa, Washington against Cincy, I think was the biggest line.
Rams Niners was a 7-point line, I think.
Yep.
Right. And so I just try to figure out how serious things are right now, or whether it's just, he didn't get a couple breaks. And I know if you say, well, they just didn't get a couple breaks, you know, you're operating a lot on hope. But I also think when you've had for the last 5 years, like the Niners have had, you have to respect the track record. That's all. Mike's in Santa Clara. Hey, Mike, how you doing, man?
How you doing, guys?
Doing well.
Hey, first off, I want to... Good. First off, I got to say, love that you're using my drop at the beginning whenever Goo's out. So, got to say that for sure.
Cool.
Yeah, that's me. The one that says you're not soft, but you know, you do miss Goo. So.
Yeah, okay, I got you. I was trying to figure it out because they change that up sometimes. Yeah, you're a star.
I already had my 15 minutes. So, hey, I just the reason I was calling, guys, I wanted to talk about just the coaching staff. I'm not about to bash Kyle. He's already got enough bashing in as it is. But I just want to say, though, that, you know, I just feel like some of the ego and the arrogance, there's never an issue of having some ego as a head coach, but I just feel like the arrogance and the ego is a little too much right now in regards to not taking accountability with things that have gone wrong and the losses on the head coaching side of things. I just want to see a little bit more accountability from Kyle on why it went down, specifically, you know, on the losses, especially this last Rams one, and not pointing fingers at people. And he's always had a history of doing that. The other thing I wanted to talk about was Sorensen and the defense. You know, I just feel like that the defense itself is being way too passive with their play calling. You know, Steve Wilks, he was a blitz caller like no other. I want to see more blitzing. And quite frankly, I know it's not just on the play caller and on the defensive side, but the players, I want to see some passion and pride behind, you know, your playing as well, unless your name is Fred Warner. He's the only one that is really stepping up and doing anything on that defense. I need to see something, especially out of Bosa. Just put some pride and passion behind your pass rush, man. Like everyone's saying, they're seeing Hutchinson, they're seeing Watt, etc., Myles Garrett. They're seeing these guys get to the quarterback. Where are you, Bosa? That's all I got to say, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, you're right. It's about impact plays, and it doesn't feel like he's made a lot of impact plays. This from the 415. Get off the fence, Steiny. So many ifs in your argument. This team is aging, and gaskets are blowing up.
Well, number one, if you listened to the show before, second of all, not everything is combusting. The season is not dead yet. It just definitely has not got off to the start that people thought.
Yeah, I wonder, are there fans out there that think this team's in trouble? Do you think this, I'll ask you, are the Niners in trouble? And my feeling is you can't say that after three games. However, if they don't have a good year, I realize people can say to me, dude, this was start to finish. Like, they didn't play well the first three games, but we thought they would correct it. I do think they'd correct it. I'm banking on their track record.
Well, that's all you have to bank on. You know,
we might be talking about the same thing, but they've also got players who have been proven in the league. So they do have, you know, it's not like they're starting some young players.
Yeah, and some of those players are no longer on the field. I mean, the one thing that does give me hope for this season is number 13. It's Brock Purdy. Because if there's been one piece of their franchise that has been, I think, just even keel, that has given you what you expected, it's been the quarterback. And I think it's ironic that for so many years, the one thing that's been unstable about this organization is the quarterback. Mm-hmm. And the thing that has been the most stable about this season thus far is the quarterback.
Yeah.
So Brock Purdy's been fantastic. And that feels, at least for me as a viewer, great to know what I'm going to get at that position each and every week. But at the end of the day, it is about stacking W's and not L's. And through 3 weeks, they haven't done that.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and HD1 San Francisco. Always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. The one thing I do think is going to be the case this year, and I'm not sure that I've changed my opinion on it, but I think it is going to be tougher. It's going to be more of a grind. They're coming back for their sixth year, where their expectations are to go deep into the playoffs, and never more than now do they have to win a Super Bowl, or is it expected or not expected, but you know, this is one of their last best chances to win a Super Bowl. And that I think they're going to play better as the season goes along, because I absolutely think there's something to knowing how long this season is, and it's just got them, I wouldn't say a malaise, but they're just not maybe as enthusiastic coming out to start a season, because they know how long it's going to take to get to where they want to go in terms of games, months, and you know, games, weeks, and months.
Well, I don't mean to be this guy, but they knew how long last season was going to be. That was coming off a trip to an NFC Championship game in which they felt like they got robbed.
But they had a little bit of a grudge. You know what I mean? Like,
why would they not have a grudge this year? They lost the Super Bowl in overtime.
That's kind of why, believe it or not. Like, I feel like when they lost to the Eagles, they felt like they got cheated by the injury, and not cheated as in hosed, but just they didn't get their fair crack at the Eagles that day. And so then the next year, I feel like they said, all right, let's we're going to the Super Bowl, and we're going to win the Super Bowl. And they went to the Super Bowl, and they got beat late. And that's why I believe, to my way of thinking, that's maybe why it's been harder to come out guns blazing, because that loss did sting. I think it's still maybe in their minds a little bit, but over the course of the season, I think it'll gradually dissipate. That's just my thought.
No, I think that's fair, but I could also take Debo's words. If he believes that this team has been the most talented group in the NFL for however long, mm-hmm. whether they are or aren't, doesn't really matter. I do think he has reason to believe that the Niners played a better football game than the Chiefs. But again, like the Rams game, they didn't make enough plays in the biggest moments to warrant besting Patrick Mahomes. But I think that they firmly believe they were the better team last year. Just like they believe they were the better team than the Philadelphia Eagles the year before. Now, while they got beat, as opposed to not having a chance to prove it, to me, that's kind of apples to apples. I don't see any reason why they wouldn't have as much motivation coming into this season as last season. What I think they've run into is this war of attrition that they're beginning to lose from going to so many games and through so many seasons. Like, one thing the Chiefs have done, and I realize that they're 3-0, and it's been because of a couple of plays and all the rest, but they got Travis Kelce on a pitch count. Travis Kelce's 35 years old. He's a Hall of Fame tight end, one of the greatest of all time. They know when they need him, but they also realize they can still win games if he's not on the field all the time. He's playing less than half the snaps, but the snaps that he's playing are in big spots. And they also have trust in other players to go out and make those plays. I mean, they brought in Hollywood Brown, who may not be as good as he once was, but he's expected to be a big part of this receiving core. He's not there. Their starting running back is now out. Like, they're still finding ways to cobble together victories against, frankly, better opponents than the Niners have played.
Yeah.
So, I hear what you're saying. It is very hard. I do believe in a quote-unquote Super Bowl hangover, but that Super Bowl hangover is not an excuse to be losing to inferior teams like the Rams.
888-957-9570 is the number. I'm still of the opinion that things are going to get better for the Niners, and we may, if I had to make a bet, we'll look back at these three games and say, yeah, that wasn't who we were. And now we're in week 12 or 13 and we're proving it. That's what I would, if I had to bet, that's what I would bet on. What about you guys? What about you 49er fans? Let's go out to Waterman in Corte Madera. Hey, Waterman, what's going on?
What up, gentlemen? How are we doing today?
Doing well.
So, I mean, I know you guys, I know I call a lot, and I probably tend to lean towards the negative. I still think the Niners are going to be. I still think they're going to be 10-7 this year.
Okay.
I kind of predicted that early in the year. So, yeah, they're going to probably give away a game or two, in the Rams fashion. It's just, I think, just the way this season's going to go. I think Matt Tateo said it best. He didn't see the energy in this team. They seemed depleted early in the year when he was interviewed. The Niners right now are experiencing Super Bowl hangover. They've gone through yet another Super Bowl against the Chiefs, making it through that grind and losing in a dramatic fashion again, having a lead and having it watch it go away. And I'm telling you, that has a mental grind on you, because it's I guarantee you most of those players are saying, like, what do we have to do to get over this hump? And yes, okay, I get it. They're million-dollar paid athletes, and we all think they should be robotic and just go out and make plays. But right now, they are playing with no swagger. They're playing with no high energy emotion. They don't have their big emotional leader in Dre Greenlaw, on the defensive side. It's not the same team as last year too. You know, regardless of how we felt about Eric Armstead, how we felt about Kinlaw, it's not the same team. So this is a new thing. It's a new defensive coordinator, which, let's face it, the book's still out on him. But right now, just to use the Chiefs as an example, they are playing as a team that is the Super Bowl defending champion with all the swagger. There's two games this year I've watched where they had no business winning those games, and they found a way to pull it out because they're playing with confidence, they're playing with swagger. okay, we can use the excuse of, yeah, they've gotten some bailed out on some major non-calls. But the Atlanta game, for example, with the Chiefs, we forget Atlanta did get the ball back, and the Chiefs got three or four penalties on that last drive Atlanta got. But when Atlanta needed to get 1 yard, they couldn't come up with 1 yard, and the Chiefs' defense stifled them. So, I mean, they have an amazing core group of coaches. Their staff has been solid at all the right places. They're probably not more talented than the Niners on paper, but the guys are doing and working together and playing with swagger. And right now, unfortunately, the Niners aren't. And it's a drag as a fan. And I do think they're gonna turn it around and win some games. I'm hoping for 4-4 by the bye week. I mean, I'm not anticipating the Niners beating the Chiefs this year at all when they play them. Right now, the Niners, they need a little perk up, and I thought they had it with the Rams with the way Purdy played and Jennings, but unfortunately it got slipped away, and it's not from those guys' fault. It's from making stupid plays, you know, at the wrong time. I mean, allowing a terrible punt return. Like, what are we doing here? It was just like, talk about a momentum shift. We got to see it on Sunday with the Rams, guys.
Yeah, no doubt about that. No doubt about that. I mean, very rare do you have a game in which you can point to the exact moment it all switched. But that game on Sunday changed in a monster way midway through the second quarter when Sean McVay went for that fourth down and got it on the punt.
But again, let's say that opened the door.
Yeah.
There were still 17 chances for the Niners kick the door back shut.
And you know what? You're right. They That touchdown made it 14-7. They went back up 21-7 after that. So,
and they also had a chance right before the half. You know, it's funny because, Guru will bring up a McCaffrey fumbled in the Super Bowl.
Right.
Or people will point to, Jalen Hurts, who fumbled for a pick six in the Super Bowl. So, I think Brock Purdy played maybe his best regular season game in his career.
Okay.
Fumbled the ball before the half. So are people mad about that? I mean, And to me, those aren't things to just look at and say, well, that's why they lost. But again, when you go back and stack up the different reasons why, that is a part of it. I mean, the Rams needed a lot of things to go their way after digging themselves a 14-0 hole, a 21-7 hole in the second half. And then the Niners basically gave them the shovel or a ladder.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. It's a good point. All right, 888-957-9570. I see callers lining up. We'll get to you all on the other side. San Francisco 49ers, now 1-2. I guess the way I feel is I think things are going to even out a little bit. You know what I mean? I think there are games that the Chiefs maybe didn't deserve to win a game, and they got a win. It'll even out in the end, and I kind of feel like that loss. I feel like the loss of the Rams is a little bit of an outlier.
No, I mean, and that's why I think that this game is going to be a get-right game for the Niners.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to calm all the concerns of fans, but, I mean, the reason why you should feel optimistic about this group is it is the names on the back of their jerseys. Like, you've seen them do this before, and if Kittle's back this weekend, Debo comes back next week, you know, you can get this thing right. There is still a lot of time left, but
right.
I think you've stolen this line before a couple times. It can get early late.
Oh, I like that line. Don't miss the kickoff show this Sunday with my main man, Evan Giddings, and Jason Dumas, live 2 hours before the start of the game. Join us at the Hilton Santa Clara for delicious food, great drinks, and the best pregame show in the Bay. It's presented by Habas Law. You've been wronged. Habas Law will fight to make it right. Call 1-800-INJURED or visit HabasLaw.com.